Good morning, and welcome both to those listening in and to all the rest who are present here on site. It is a great privilege and joy to worship God who's made the world and everything in it. I'd like to give you a challenge today as we go through this service to look out for one thing from the service to keep reflecting on through the week, whether it's something from the sermon, the psalm, a song, one thing. So please stand as we lift our eyes and hearts to King Jesus, the only one worthy of all our praise. While the congregation can't sing, please feel free to move your body or dance to worship Jesus. Join in with me, reminding each other of David's rich psalm of reassurance, Psalm 62. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. We've come together to meet with our awesome God and to take part in the building up of his church. We remember that Christ himself bore our bodies on, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed. We have a God-given privilege to repent of our sins. So let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a fantastic truth that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Before we read from the Bible, please bow with me as we ask God to help us hear his word. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41.
Good morning. The reading this morning from the Bible comes from Luke chapter 2, as Fiona said, starting at verse 41 and through to verse 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
Before Trevor comes and speaks to us, please stand, if you're able, as we affirm together our faith. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Please have a seat.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. And to those listening in at home, welcome to you as well, too. The Lord be with you. Please just turn around again and just say hello, good morning, welcome to church. It's good to see you all. Fiona, thank you for getting us to stand before to think on the words of the song that we were singing before. We may be doing that a little bit later on. But it reminded me of my Anglican minister when I was going through my youth days. It was very English. And of course, wasn't very outwardly expressing of his faith and love for Jesus in outward ways as we might be. And of course, being some of us youth went up to him and said, don't you love Jesus as much as we do? You know, we're just, you know, raising our hands and this. And of course, Mr. Scriven said, I dance on the inside. I dance very much on the inside. I love Jesus. You know, so if you dance on the inside, it's all fine. It's great. It's worth dancing on the outside. Well, this morning we conclude our Advent sermon series, that we might be certain of the things that we have been taught. Advent is that time of the year just prior to and including Christmas. I know I've gone a little bit over it. When we remember the first coming and the second comings of Christ. The word Advent actually means coming. And so the message of Advent is that as sure as Christ came into the world the very first time, our Lord will come again and take us home. He will come a second time. Be patient and wait. So over the last 6 weeks, we've focused on those stories that covered the early childhood of Jesus. His announcement of his birth to Mary and Joseph by the angel, the time of his birth, his presentation at the temple being seen by the elderly godly man of Simeon and the prophetess Anna, the visit of the Magi, and his rescue from death. And we've asked the question, why are these early childhood stories in our Bibles. Now, only Matthew and Luke record these few stories, so we've focused on their accounts and their reason for including them. So far, we've learned God's plan was always to become one of us in Christ. The time came for the Christ to be born, as promised, and he was. He was seen by those whom God had promised that they would see him. The nation's wisest have sought him out and worshipped him. And he was protected and saved so as to save us. This morning, we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 42. And thank you, Rosemary, for reading it to us. Jesus is 12 years of age. He has travelled with his parents and others from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, the Passover was that time when God's people remembered being slaves in Egypt, that they were miraculously delivered and saved by God under the leadership of their rescuer, their saviour, Moses, and taken to the promised land. This is what Jesus, with his family and friends, have gone to celebrate. And this was something that Luke tells us that Jesus did with his family every year. On this occasion, unbeknown to Joseph and Mary, Jesus remains in Jerusalem after the event. He is found by them on the third day later, or 3 days later. He's seated with the temple teachers in discussion with them. And those who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers to their questions. Now, I take it that the reason Luke includes this story in his gospel is that we might be certain that Jesus knew from a very early age who he was and what he had come into the world sent by his Father to do for us. Have you ever lost a child? Lost them in a crowd? I remember losing Jonathan when he was about 4. I think he was 4. It's a long time ago now. It's a horrible feeling. Terribly, terribly horrible feeling. We were with the church and with lots of local people in Stanmore Park Reserve. It was around this time of the year, and it was late afternoon, and we'd all come down to the park for a barbecue, a picnic dinner. It happened really quickly. We were preoccupied, took our eyes off him, thought he was with the other, and he was gone. I remember the immediate sense of panic that overwhelmed me. Looking around the area where we were, then running around the crowds across the park, not a care in the world, calling out for him. Where are you? Unbeknownst to me, he had walked through the crowds across the open park about 300 metres, following a group of our children from the church to the kiosk to get an ice cream. Fortunately, it was one of the first places that I looked. I found him waiting out the front, underneath the counter, looking up at the adults, wondering if they'd give him an ice cream, unaware of our concerns. And the adults looking at him and wondering, whose child is this? Whose child is this? It's the question I assume the temple teachers and the others who heard him in discussion with Jesus, amazed at his understanding, must have thought of him. And it's the question, I take it, Luke wants us to ask. Again, those of you who have read the story already or know it, there are a number of questions of this story Luke doesn't answer. But like Matthew accounts, his account of the early childhood of Jesus, knowing their answers is not important. They are left unanswered for us to speculate, to guess, but not to let them hijack and steal from us what the writer Luke intends for us to focus on and be certain. Whose child is this? On the third day, Mary and Joseph turn up back in Jerusalem in the temple courts, and there they find Jesus sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking and engaging in the answering of questions with them. Look with me at what Luke records and wants us to focus on upon their arrival and discovery. Verses 47 and 48 there in your Bibles. Luke first wants us to focus on the reaction of those who had been listening to Jesus and that of his parents. Those who had been listening, verse 7, we're told, were amazed. And his parents were astonished and anxious. Put yourself in the situation of those who have been listening in, of those who were amazed at Jesus, the temple teachers and the others listening in. Would we not, upon seeing Joseph and Mary, after discussions with this child and hearing his answers and questions and amazed at him, would we not have thought, as we saw Joseph and Mary coming and speaking with the child, is this your child? Is this your child? Now, Rosemary and I had three adult children, each unique and different from the other, and I'm very glad that they're not here with us in churches often now, because they used to charge me $1 every time I had an illustration, so I'm getting off free here, although they may listen into the recording. Sorry, guys. All right. We had three adult children, and each of them are unique and different from the other. We can say that there were the occasions when we felt very proud of them because another adult came up to us who didn't know us, who was impressed with something that either our children had said to them or did that amazed them. And they asked, is this your child? Mind you, when they were going through the terrible twos and they were carrying on like a pork chop, flopping and screaming on the supermarket floor, Rosemary and I had often turned to each other and said, is this your child? Whose child is this? Don't know at all. I'm sure you've done it as well too, those of you who've got children or grandchildren. Now let us put ourselves in the situation of Joseph and Mary. Luke tells us they were astonished and anxious. Astonished, verse 8. Son, why have you treated us like this? What were they saying? Don't you know who we are? We are your parents. And anxious, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. What were they saying here? You are our child. We are responsible for you. Again, I take it Luke is wanting his readers to hear whose child people thought Jesus is. Those who were amazed and his parents. They thought Joseph and Mary's child. Our Lord's reply is quite profound. Verse 49. Profound for his age, being 12, but more so in his self-awareness of who he is, his understanding of his identity, and his responsibility that came with that. Not only that, making it known in the context in which he was in, being lost and found. Verse 49, we read Jesus say, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house?" Or it could be translated, "about my Father's business." "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" Why were you searching for me? Jesus is not questioning their parental responsibility to search for him, or that he doesn't understand why they would. But it does seem at first reading ignorant and a little rude on Jesus' part. Imagine if your child or grandchild or child you were responsible for replied to you in the same way. But Jesus was not ignorant, nor was he being rude. What he did in his reply was to get his parents to remember, and we the readers too, what they, Mary and Joseph, were not. He was God's child, God's son, and he'd come to do his Father's business, God's business. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, at the end of the story of Zacchaeus, you know, that little Jewish man that couldn't find his way to see Jesus, so he climbs up a sycamore tree and to see Jesus. Jesus finds him, invites him himself to lunch, and at the end we see Zacchaeus' life changed, a man there. At the end of that little story there, Luke records Jesus' words. It's a real summary of what Jesus understood as being his Father's business. Luke records that Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." It's a summary statement of the whole of Jesus' ministry. And it's a summary statement that Luke has of his gospel. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. Profoundly, in this reply, in his reply to his mother, Jesus reminds all that in the greater plan of God, he was not lost. They are lost. And all people are lost. It was his responsibility to seek and to save the lost, not theirs, nor anyone else's. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? Why are you searching for me? And it's interesting that this story is set at the time of remembering and celebrating the Passover, the day on which our Lord Jesus died on a cross and saved us. When we read Jesus' reply this way, "Why were you searching for me?" we get to learn that Jesus knew from a very, very early age who he is and what he'd come to do for you and for me and for all. Whose child is this? This child is God's child. He is not lost. We are the ones who were lost. He has come to seek and to save us. This was his Father's business he came to do. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your Spirit's guidance, that we might know its truth and live accordingly, certain and confident of the things we have been taught. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Before our next song, just take a moment to reflect and allow God's word to work in your heart. What would God want to change in you so that the mind of Christ would live in you day to day? Please stay seated as we pray through this next song while it is also sung for us. The Lord be with you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer before the mighty, amazing God, our Saviour Jesus, and the Father, of course. How could we forget? We are so, so blessed. Almighty and ever-living God, you are sovereign over all. You are wondrous, everlasting. You are merciful, kind, and compassionate. And because of this, we can come to you, knowing your compassion and grace in Jesus, who've paved the way for us to be able to kneel before you and seek your wisdom, your counsel, and your help. O Heavenly Father, we bring before you our world. We think of the chaos, the absolute anxiety and stress that's going on around us. And it is hard to focus, Lord. But we know you are the one that has the answers. You are the one who is in control as everything appears out of control. O Heavenly Father, we bring before you the situation of America and the inauguration of Biden as the new president. We ask for peace and calm amidst this difficult situation that's arisen, that people will be more focused on the good of America, the good of the people, the good of the country, rather than their own agendas. May things go smoothly, and I just pray that the people of America will turn to you for answers, for strength, and for the way to go. I pray for wisdom for Joe Biden and his team and his constituencies, all the people there, leaders, people in authority. I pray particularly for Joe Biden that he will have your wisdom, he would seek your will above all others for the good of his country, that he will not be dissuaded and distracted by others around him or other temptations. And in the situation there, Lord, we think of the COVID. Not only in America, but around the world. Lord, help those who are seeking to find answers, both with medical situations and answers of helping the people, of setting up rules and regulations to keep people safe. We ask for your wisdom in this. And we ask on behalf of Kim for Ireland. Kim Patterson has requested, we pray. And Lord, we ask for Ireland, who is suffering greatly at the moment. They've seemed to have gone past the mark of everyone else around the world. Lord, help them to understand the safety of each other. Grant health and strength and guidance for all those who are healthcare workers. Lord, make it possible that people can be helped as the patients overflow in the hospitals They're not coping. You, O God, are the rescuer. Please rescue this country. But above all, Lord, may they turn to you. They've slipped away, O God, to know that there is a God, there is a Saviour. O Lord, send your Spirit down there to bring comfort, to turn their eyes upon Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the world, O God, O Heavenly Father, your people who suffer, we bring them before you, Lord. Help them to be strong and firm in their faith. May their persecutors know Jesus and turn their eyes to him to see the answers, that your Spirit may indeed enlighten them. We pray particularly for North Korea. 1 in 8 people are suffering because of their faith. Lord, we ask for provision, for help and strength, that you would help them to find comfort and joy in you amidst this terrible, terrible time. Pray for the authorities, Lord, that your Spirit will indeed touch hearts, that you can break through the hearts of stone, so that they may know Jesus as their Saviour and turn this whole situation around. May they find the help they need, O God, for the persecuted. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, O Lord, for our country, your provision and sovereignty. Thank you, O Lord, for that we are able to worship today in our church. Help us to be thankful in Australia for what we have. Help people to turn around and stop looking at the what we don't have and being disgruntled, but being joyful. Send your Spirit on this land, O God, for people to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And we ask for wisdom and guidance for our Prime Minister, our Premier, leaders and authorities in this land. Thank you, Lord, that we are much better off than a lot of other countries. Thank you that we have emergency workers, we have police, we have systems put in place for when things are needed. Thank you for our medical workers and hospitals and schools, all of the things that we take for granted, O God. Thank you so much. We pray that the people of this land will heed warnings with authorities, particularly in regard to COVID, that they will cooperate, that they will listen to restrictions and obey, so that we can keep each other safe, that authorities will be able to put things into place for new episodes, Lord, that have come in, so that we, the people, can be protected. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. O Heavenly Father, you love community, and it's so evident in your word how people are so important to you. Thank you that you are such a loving God. Thank you, Lord, that we have a precious community here at St. Andrew's. Thank you for your people here and your teaching that according to your word. That is such a blessing, O God, and we praise and thank you for that. We think of those, dear God, that you would give them your comfort, your help. And may we pause just for one moment to think of those who we know need help, strength, comfort, healing. Just pause now. And in your minds, mention them before the Lord. We think of Kay, Lynn and Graham Clark, Max Schweizer, Jean Steele, We think of those who mourn, O God. Those with Minette and her family. Those we know. Those who are struggling with decisions, anxiety, the overload of work, the stress of life and situations. O Heavenly Father, we ask that these people will find strength, help, peace, and that they may be aware of your presence each day, to know that they are not alone, that you are with them always. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for St. Andrews, O God. We praise and thank you for all that you are. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how great are you. How wonderful. May we continue to grow in Jesus here at St. Andrews, O God. That, Lord, we would be your light and salt where we are, where we're planted. Thank you for our parish council. Thank you for Karen, Trevor, all those who lead, all those who participate and help one another. May we, your people, be granted your wisdom. May we grow in strength each day. And, O Lord, may we have vision, your vision, for our community to know Jesus. We ask for your wisdom and guidance in all we do, in all we say. The things will be done through your power, that we would run the race looking unto Jesus, so people can see Jesus here at Abbotsford, at St. Andrews, in each other. And we pray this dearly in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Father of heaven and earth, hear our prayers and show us the way to peace in the world. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. If you would like to look up, just a reminder that next Sunday will be the Lord's Supper, so you may like to reflect and prepare for that. And I invite the singers now up for our final song, This Life I Live Is Not My Own.
He took it to be his own Lord.
we're not able to sing in church, can I encourage you to take your service sheets home and sing through the songs through the week? Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.